Hi, my name's Rupert Matthews. I'm campaigns manager here at Better Off Out. Now, this week our podcast follows our campaign team on trips to Devon, Wiltshire, Somerset and Essex. We take in a varied patch of incidents ranging from prehistoric megaliths to a Dark Age warrior king and a very modern cream tea. And actually, thinking about it, I seem to be getting something of a fixation with cream teas. We had one last week as well. So we start this week down in Devon. We're just outside Honiton, next to a very busy road. So I'm sorry about the background noise from all the traffic. But I'm talking here about the Honiton Agricultural Show. Well, here I am at Honiton in Devon. Behind me here are the showgrounds for the Honiton Agricultural Show. And of course, farmers and the whole agricultural sector is one part of the British economy that is very heavily mixed up with the European Union. Virtually every farmer in this country receives subsidies or grants or some form of financial help from the European Union. However, the Common Agricultural Policy, which is run by the European Union, isn't really designed for British farmers. The benchmark for the Common Agricultural Policy is the sort of small-scale part-time farmers that you find particularly in countries such as Italy, southern France, Spain, Portugal, areas like that. So if Britain were to leave the European Union, the agricultural policy that we would have could be designed by the British government specifically for British farmers. And not only would it be tailor-made for our local farmers, but of course Britain pays in far more to the Common Agricultural Policy than British farmers get back. So the same level of subsidy could be given to British farmers on a more equitable footing in a policy designed for British farmers. And the British taxpayer would still have money left over. It's a bit of a win-win situation leaving the European Union. Then we move a few miles to the north, to the charming little village of South Petherton in Somerset. Now, charming and little it may be now, but there was a time when this was the bustling heart of one of the most aggressive of the Dark Age kingdoms here in Britain. Well, here we are. We're in Silver Street, South Petherton in Somerset. And 1,400 years ago, King Ina of Wessex built his royal palace about 50 yards in that direction. Now, there's nothing left of it now. He built it in wood and it was 1,400 years ago. But the reason why we've come here today is that it was King Ina who issued the first written law code in the English kingdoms. And that's important because all of the English legal system really dates back to his time. It's common law system that we're used to today, in which laws are flexible. They're built up over time, the interpretation of them, and so on. Now, by complete contrast, over on the European continent, they have a much more rigid legal system that dates back to the days of the Roman Empire, many places as introduced by the Code Napoleon in the early 19th century. And the two systems are really quite different. Certain concepts that we take for granted, such as that you're innocent until proven guilty, that you can't be put in prison without a trial, are actually from the English tradition. There's really no counterpart to that under European law. And yet, the European Union is increasingly seeking to impose continental concepts of justice and continental ideas about how a legal system should work on this country, and increasingly our traditional way of doing things and the safeguards that go with it for individual liberty are being pushed aside. Now, I'm going to be voting to leave the European Union when we get the referendum. And this is one of the reasons for that. I believe you are innocent until proven guilty. I believe you shouldn't be put in prison without a fair and open trial. And I think that the only way to safeguard those things and to make sure that the liberties of English people are preserved is for us to leave the European Union. And I can't speak for him really, but I think Ina would probably vote to leave as well. Then we move on to Wiltshire. We're heading for Avebury, famous for its vast henge and dozens of enormous standing stones. We also pay a quick visit to the nearby and incredibly enigmatic Silbury Hill. Well, here we are at Avebury in Wiltshire. As you can see, this is a megalithic site. We've got these huge standing stones that were put up about 4,500 years ago, towards the end of the Neolithic Age. That's in the very earliest stages of farming in this country. And there aren't just hundreds of stones here in Avebury itself. There are avenues of standing stones extending a couple of miles over in that direction, up to some high ground. And another avenue going in that direction towards another hill. So this is one of the biggest megalithic sites in the entire world. And if you're ever in Wiltshire, I do recommend you come here. It's a fascinating day out. They've got a museum and all sorts. But the reason we're here is because I wanted to talk about the megalithic culture. These standing stones are characteristic of a prehistoric culture, let's say 4,500 years ago. They're not just found here in Wiltshire, they're found across the British Isles, over in Ireland, and also going down the Atlantic coastline of Europe, going down through Brittany, France, and Spain. And what that demonstrates is that there were close cultural and economic links between these areas of Europe. Even 4,500 years ago, archaeologists have found items here that are clearly being imported from much further south, and vice versa. And that proves that cultural links and economic links between the British Isles and the continent of Europe have been going on for hundreds of generations, long before we joined the European Union. Our links with Europe do not depend on us being members of the European Union in any way. And after we vote to leave the European Union in the referendum, which I sincerely hope that we will do, we will maintain those links. Britons will continue to work with people in Europe, we will trade with them, we'll exchange arts, we'll exchange cultural links, we'll work together to tackle problems that are common to the whole continent. Everything will continue as before, it's just we will be free of the political structure of the European Union. So, just as the people who built this magnificent stone circle 4,500 years ago cooperated with, worked with, and traded with their neighbours on the continent of Europe, so we will continue to do so after we leave the European Union and become an independent country once again. Just like these guys were. Here we are, this is Silbury Hill in Wiltshire. It was built about 4,500 years ago by our Neolithic farming ancestors. As you can see, it's absolutely huge. It's an artificial hill. And archaeologists have excavated it and found that what we have here is just a huge mound of chalk blocks and rubble covered over with green turf. No discernible purpose, no one knows what it's for. There's nothing inside it. So, effectively, what we've got is something that's very large, very expensive, and has got no known purpose. I can't help thinking of the European Commission. We then head east to Essex, and in particular to Colchester, where we stop off to learn about the wool trade from previous generations and what that can tell us about the modern European Union and the way in which Britain trades with it. Well, we're here in Colchester. We've been holding a meeting here. What I wanted to say about Colchester, though, has to do with international trade and in particular with Britain's trade with the continent of Europe. Up until about 1300, Colchester was really quite a small town. But suddenly, within the space of about 100 years, Colchester absolutely boomed. And within a very short period of time, Colchester was actually the 12th wealthiest city in England. And that was all done on the back of trading woolen cloth with the continent of Europe. Changes in the way the trade was happening benefited Colchester enormously. Entrepreneurs here took advantage of that, and suddenly the whole of the town was very busy spinning wool, weaving wool, dyeing wool. And in fact, the most famous export from here, by the time you get to the year 1500, was a really densely woven, very thick form of russet coloured woolen cloth. And the reason why that's relevant is that that huge boom in employment, in wealth and in trade happened when England was not part of the European Union. It shows that what we need actually are free trade agreements and open borders. And that is now guaranteed by the World Trade Organization, not by the European Union. So if Britain votes to leave the European Union, as I believe we should, then that sort of trade, that sort of wealth creation will continue, because under the rules of the World Trade Organization, it's possible to do that. And the European Union simply cannot put up the sort of trade barriers that some people are trying to scaremonger about. So here we are in Colchester. It is a fine example of what British business and British workers can achieve when they're given the opportunity to do so. And it also shows us that in leaving the European Union, we can continue to trade with them. And finally, we end up in Tiptree in Essex, famous, of course, for its jam. That's where I got my cracking cream tea, it must be said. But first of all, I stopped off to ponder the meaning of Tiptree jam and indeed cream teas for the EU referendum. Well, as you can see, I'm here in Tiptree in Essex. Behind me is the great jam factory they have here, where Wilkin & Sons make their top quality Tiptree jams, which are exported around the world. In my opinion, at least, these are possibly the finest jams in the world, surpassed only by the jams my old grandma used to make. But the success of exports from Britain, such as these jams and other quality products, rests on the quality of the product itself and the skills of the workers who make it. It's got nothing to do with the fact Britain is a member of the European Union. In fact, our membership of the European Union is completely immaterial. So if Britain votes to leave the European Union, as I vote that we will, these exports are going to continue, because the prosperity of Britain depends on the quality of our products, on the quality of the workforce, not on whether or not we belong to a bureaucratic institution run from Brussels. Anyway, that's the lesson over. I'm going to pop in and get a nice cream tea with jam made here in Tiptree.